Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We'll have news and notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Our weekly conversation with Paula. It was an awful weekend with the Todd Heat tragedy here locally and Isaiah Thomas on the basketball court for the Celtics. Brock Huard is going to be with us today, ESPN college football analyst. We will break down the quarterbacks in the upcoming NFL draft, which is just 11 days away now. Peter King wrote this morning in Monday Morning Quarterback that Steve Keim and the Cardinals are the team, in his mind, that is looking at trading up to get Mahomes. So there's news to go on there with Brock and also the quarterback evaluation. Also probably throw in there some of the high school kids that are up at UW, because we do that here at sports360az.com. We are pro-college, high school, Arizona-centric. The weekend was just wasn't good, other than it was Easter, and it's terrific when it's Easter. My daughter spoke at our church on Friday night. There's this moment, it's first time that I've seen her speak for 3.5 minutes unscripted from the heart on what Good Friday meant to her and her faith, and that was really cool. It was just really cool. It was very emotional. The place was packed, and she did terrific. So I was very proud of her on that. And then Friday night, I get the news about Todd Heap. Guys, I don't know where to go on this one. I didn't put anything on social media because I think, and this isn't criticism of those that did, I just felt like everybody and their brother and sister and mother and aunt and uncle, that once they heard the details of how Todd Heap's 3-year-old daughter was accidentally run over in the family driveway by Todd Heap, that you cannot script that. It's not something you would ever imagine, ever think about. I saw a story where there were 36 deaths last year of children in our country. 36. This was by the Washington Post. Of people backing their vehicles out of the driveway and losing track of their kids. And that's what happened with Todd Heap. And Todd Heap has a large family. He had 5 children. He now has 4. His daughter did pass away. This accident happened in the family driveway late on Friday afternoon. Those of you that have watched this show know that Todd has come in studio, that we've had Todd on the air, that Todd is, regardless of what we've done with him in the Valley, Todd Heap is a rock. And for him at 37 years of age to lose a daughter and to think of what he's going to be, I was emotional. I mean, how could you not be emotional? How could you not get a little bit choked up? And I'm sitting there yesterday at the Easter service at our church, and the message was about you've got to be grateful for the day that you have and make more of your life out of it. And I kept thinking back to Todd Heap. I actually leaned over to my wife and I said, I'm thinking of Todd Heap. And I how can you not think of what some other person is going through? And there are people on social media that were attacking him because of the size of his family. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. So it's beyond ridiculous. It's just cruel. So that happened, and then I saw the story of Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics, who was here in Phoenix for a short period of time, and his sister passed away, and he tried to play through it last night, and Charles made some comments on TNT, quote, I'm not sure what to say. I'm not feeling comfortable with him sitting in the sidelines crying like that, because they had a shot of him sitting in the sidelines crying. Guess what? I agree with Charles. I wasn't comfortable with it. Quote, that makes me uncomfortable. So that tells me he's not in shape to play. I mean, I don't know how this night is going to turn out, but to be sitting on the sideline a few minutes before the game crying, that just makes me uncomfortable. That's just not a good look for him. Okay, so that's the line that people are just crushing Charles on today. And I don't think there was anything. I think I know this person well enough to say there's nothing on a vindictive side of him towards a player. That's not him. And when it's unscripted and it comes out like that's not a good look, it's not a good look. It's an uncomfortable look. That's an uncomfortable look rather than good, probably should have been swapped out. happens in live television. People want to go after him. There's always something people want to go after people for. It just happens. That's just not a good look for him, in my personal opinion. I mean, he is clearly devastated like we all would be if we lost a sibling, but sitting on the sideline right before the game, that just makes me uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable with that. That makes total sense. But the backlash today, I'm really surprised with. Isaiah Thomas did not talk after the game last night. If we're just talking sports over the weekend and on the court, on the basketball court, the playoff games were terrific. Playoff games were great. I'll get into that as the show progresses. Eric is out at the Cardinals this morning because today the Arizona Cardinals really started work towards 2017. They opened up their weight room. The media is all in there. They're interviewing players. The players are all saying, I'm getting stronger. I'm getting faster. I would love to see a player walk in there because in years past, really long, long before where we are now, players are fine-tuned machines for the most part. But it used to be you'd see a player at this event and you'd say, wow, this guy has not learned to say the words, I'm full. He looks pretty darn heavy. Or, man, laying on the beach and drinking like a fish has added quite a bit on this person. I don't know if that's the case today. We'll talk with Eric here in a couple of minutes. He is out over at the Cardinals. There's some other things, too. Friday night, before the Heap news came out, I attempted to watch some of Greinke and Kershaw, and that ended up being a total lead balloon. Total lead balloon. If there's a player so far with the Diamondbacks, through two starts that I've seen two of his starts, and I have not come away overly impressed in the two starts that I've seen. Opening day, I was not overly impressed with Greinke, and Friday night, I certainly wasn't overly impressed with him, and Kershaw got the better of him. It would have to be Zach Greinke. Yesterday was a win in the what you would want to see out of the Diamondbacks, and that is a pretty clean game. Great defense. A.J. Pollock kissed the wall. Taijuan Walker was pretty darn good, even though he had to leave because of back spasms, and they had a double play to end the game, and they won a nice 3-1 game. There were not balls being kicked around and players being left all over the field. And so tonight, Robbie Ray is on the mound in L.A., and then they drive down to San Diego tomorrow. As mentioned, Eric is out over at the Cardinals, so let's check in there with him. Because today they're, what are they calling today at the facility? Is this come get your weight on? The steel mill is open? What do they call this?
Today, Brad, is the first day of the Cardinals off-season conditioning program. That is the technical specific name for it.
All right. And is there anybody not in shape? Anybody you look at and say, that guy looks like a load. That guy looks like he's been hitting King's Table Buffet way too many times. Or does everybody look like chiseled machines?
To me, everyone looked like chiseled machines. We just spoke with strength and conditioning coach Buddy Morris, and he said some of these players need to spend less time on their social media accounts and more time in the weight room. And I got a nice chuckle from all the media. But I'm seeing more often than not in situations like this, most of the team is coming in at least decent shape because they're really not that far removed from the end of the season.
Sure.
But I guess you're a lineman, you're eating all the time, your weight can change quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. What players have you seen or visited with so far out there? I know it's early in the day.
We spoke with Patrick Peterson, David Johnson, some of the guys we saw lifting today, Tyrann Mathieu, a lot of the newcomers like Antoine Bethea, linebackers Jarvis Jones and Carlos Dansby were also out here.
Close.
So they say that these off-season conditioning programs are voluntary, but all the players we spoke to said they're really not voluntary. And the other players kind of keep track of who's not here. But for the most part, all of the big names did roll through this morning.
Yeah. You like going to this event, or is this one just kind of like, okay, I got it. They're lifting weights and they're in shape. Is this a good one for you?
They gave us a 60-minute window to shoot weight training. And after about 15 to 20 minutes of shooting guys lifting weights, you pretty much shot every angle of a guy lifting a different sort of weight that you need. But the access was good. We got to, like I said, we got to catch up with a couple guys, and I'm going to put something together for the site and also for this week's TV show.
Did David Johnson or Patrick Peterson do box jump? Like, let me see if I can jump like 10 boxes. something like that, something they can put on their social media account, any of that stuff?
The way they did this was, I guess they have two different sessions of weights.
Yeah.
So while the first session was lifting weights, we got to interview the people that are in the back half of the session.
All right.
So we did not get to see Pat lift. We did not get to see some of the other guys like David Johnson lift, although David said he's been pretty much doing everything in his normal routine coming off of his injury late last year. But the guys look good. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu's out there and looking like the old honey badger. So this is also sort of like a bonding time. And a lot of guys said that it's just time to turn the page on 2016 and get started on 2017.
Yeah. You actually sound really encouraged in your voice. Like you're happy to be out there, which is good.
I'm just trying to be a reporter.
Yeah.
Not really in my job description per se, but
you have a description of your job?
No, it changes daily.
In all seriousness, okay, this is going to be a really awkward transition, but I think everybody on staff that comes on the air today has got to weigh in on Todd Heap. So you and I have not seen each other since Thursday. Did you even know? Because I sent you a text, and
I did see your text, and I actually saw it shortly after it came down. I would just happen to open my phone, and for some reason, I saw Todd Heap was trending.
Yep.
And
which is never good. It's never good for a former player to trend.
No. It's just unthinkable. Yep. Tragedy. And we've over the last few years gotten to know Todd. He's been on our show.
Yep.
And I just can't imagine what that family is dealing with right now. It's almost unthinkable to me.
Here's the thing. There's somewhere today, and this is why I'm sitting here. There's newsrooms today. They're saying one of you has to go to Todd Heap's house and do a door knock. That's gonna happen today, which is the most asinine, ludicrous. Are people going to be, we got him first, right? I'm not going to send him a text. I'm not going to send him a text probably for a few weeks after everything clears out. But there's people today that want Todd Heap to talk. If I came on the show and said, we're going to have Todd Heap, and he's going to talk about what happened in the family driveway on Friday, we'd have every camera in the valley coming here. There's not a chance that I would do that today. And people would say you're journalistically irresponsible. No, I'm not. That's why we have a bad name. You have to let people grieve, you know. So,
well, and you, Brad, coming from the TV background, you know that we live in a sensationalized media society where, especially on the TV side, I mean, they want.
But think of all the clicks we would have today on the website if we had them in studio. Come on! You're not in this for the right reasons. No, you're right.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Todd Heap and his family have about 100,000 other things to worry about besides speaking to the media now. So
that's right. That's right. All right. See you later. Good job.
See ya.
There's Eric Sorensen out at the Cardinals today. He's getting paid to go shoot guys going, and he had like days off. Jordan's in studio today. You were at ASU on Saturday.
I was.
And they had him. You came in and told me, I did not know this. I did not go to the spring game because it's not a game anymore. It's just guys that are walk-ons against wide receivers, which will produce highlights, which will get people excited to buy seats, and that's it. Is that right?
A lot of the guys played, but it wasn't a lot of...
Is your camera on?
It is not.
Another show without a camera starting. What do you know?
Most of the starters played. The only one that really didn't was N'Keal Harry. He tweaked something right before. But like you said, there's not blitzing. It's not... Yeah, you can make the offense look really good.
I want to make you look really good, so I'm going to bring you back when I can actually see you.
Fair enough.
There you go. We'll get it figured out. So on the other side, we'll get into the NBA playoffs. Dan Rooney passed away, which was significant to me. Dean Blandino, there's some NFL stuff that actually is interesting. It's not just a whole bunch of NFL things being thrown at us. And we'll get into some other things that are on my mind before Paula and then Brock Huard. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, news and notes with Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist, coming up shortly. The Peter King story this morning about Patrick Mahomes and the Cardinals trying to trade up in his Monday morning quarterback column has produced quite a bit of buzz, getting people sending me notes about this today. I uh, I think you could certainly, and we're going to talk with Brock Huard in about 30 minutes up in Seattle. He's actually at the University of Washington spring football workouts. Patrick Ross's name has been thrown out, and I keep going back on the quarterback thing. If they take a quarterback with as much help, and the draft's 11 days away, with as much help as they need in the secondary at the cornerback spot opposite Patrick Peterson, now it's time to start getting into this a little bit. It's time to start digging a little bit deeper. If you're looking at the top of the draft, and Cleveland has number one, and San Francisco has number two, and Cleveland, again, has another pick at 12. And does Cleveland decide with the number one pick, they take Myles Garrett, and at number 12, they sit there and they say, we'll take Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Do the Cardinals have to trade up from 13 to get in front of Cleveland in order to take Mahomes? That's the big question that I would have today. And I know that Keim and company over there, that they have several assets in which they could use. I know that you've got draft picks on top of draft picks next year. You could dig into next year's draft. They've been able to pull off the big move before. Just look at Chandler Jones. The question is, do you have to go get that quarterback? And why is it his stock has risen more than others? I'll tell you why. His sports attorney is a master at this, Lee Steinberg. If you remember, Paxton Lynch last year was going to be, he's going to be a second-round pick, a late second-round pick. Well, what do you know? A couple weeks before the draft, started getting floated out there that, no, he's going to get picked earlier. There's going to be teams that are going to try to jump in front of, and before you knew it, he ended up being a mid-first-round pick. Now, did he play much last year for the Broncos? You're a Bronco fan. Do you feel like Paxton Lynch is your future? Probably not. That's why you've been all over Tony Romo. And now that's not going to happen. So this is also the line season. This is the time of year. Like tomorrow, the Cardinals have their annual get-together with the media, which is really about 45 minutes of nothing being said at all. You take these moments where you have front office executives that are going to talk about the draft, and they're going to speak about, we really believe this is a deep draft. This is the deepest draft. We really like all these quarterbacks. And they're going to be asked specifically about a quarterback. Yeah, he's a big player. Well, yeah, we got that with his size. Yeah, he can throw the ball a long ways. Yeah, we got that. Yeah, he can make all the throws. They're just going to say what they want to say about it. And then when you ask them specifically, is this a player that you are going to draft? I'm not paid to give you my personal opinion. I'm paid to give that opinion within our walls here at our facility. That's what is really being said without it being said specifically. So I look at where we are with the draft, and I really believe where the Cardinals sit, if they want Mahomes, and if you look at the teams that are in front of them and teams looking to trade back, like I've been hearing from agents that Buffalo is looking to trade back. If Cleveland decides to trade that 12th pick and trade back to pick up more assets, how far back do they go? You can't miss on quarterbacks. That's the problem here if you're the Cardinals. You just cannot miss. I brought up the Matt Leinart situation over and over and over. You can't draft use a first-round pick on a quarterback. It's one thing if you miss on Logan Thomas as a fourth-round pick. It's completely another for an organization if you burn such a high asset on a quarterback. And you also have to look at it from this perspective. When you hear that there's Ben Roethlisberger written on Patrick Mahomes, is Bruce Arians going to be here to coach Patrick Mahomes in 5 years? The answer is probably not. So just from that standpoint, would that be the right move for them to go? I'm really struggling with this because I think Mahomes, I've been wanting them to take a quarterback. And look, I can go through all the metrics and numbers and opinions and talk to people about what you have at wide receiver. I get it. Larry's not going to be here. I get it. You need a corner opposite of Patrick Peterson. I get it. Get more strength on the defensive front. All that stuff makes sense. But I find it so hard to believe. Look at the stretch between Kurt Warner. What happened between Kurt Warner and what happened between Carson Palmer? And it was just awful. It was just awful. There was nobody in the pipeline that you could look at and say, this is the guy to get the organization through. And you're not always going to get that lucky. Like in Chicago, they're excited to get Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon's name at Tampa Bay had been thrown around out here. I don't know. If Mike Glennon were here, would I feel like the future is solid and secure and safe? So if you take that first round pick, essentially you're saying for the next 5, 6, 7 years, we've got our guy. And you'd hope even longer than that. You miss on him and you don't get that other corner position filled because it was such a train wreck last year. Outside of the special teams, it was a train wreck last year. Now all of a sudden you are in a real hole. So I feel like Mahomes, to me, and the people that I've talked to, yeah, he's as close to a can't miss. But I've seen too many organizations miss, so it scares me some if I'm just building an organization for the future. Now, how does a quarterback who ends up at Texas Tech warrant being the guy? And you could make the case of Carson Wentz. How's a guy end up in North Dakota State and be a high pick? And he had his moments. So obviously it's going to be interesting. Right now, I'd probably go corner as much as I like Mahomes. If I'm sitting there at 13, and an organization can make it easy. If you're Steve Keim and you decide to burn an asset and move up within the top 10 because you feel like you're going to miss him, you got to get in front of Cleveland. If Buffalo is a team that's looking to trade back, they trade back from 10 down to 13. You give them some assets. Can you make it happen? That's not going to come down till draft night. It's that simple. We'll talk further with Paula about that. That's next. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
Always good to catch up with Paula Bovin. Get your Monday off and running. News and Notes, AZ Central Sports for a couple of more weeks and full-time at Cronkite. Charles Barkley says it was not a good look. He was uncomfortable. He's not sure what to say. He meant this towards Isaiah Thomas, and I actually, of the Celtics, who lost his sister. And I think we all felt the same thing on Friday night when Todd Heap, the news came out that he had backed over his daughter, or I shouldn't say backed over, maneuvered his vehicle and hit and ran over his daughter, and she later died. I think we were all uncomfortable with it. Do you have a problem with what Charles said, first and foremost?
I thought it was really awkward, Brad, and I think, you know, I'm kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't mean it to sound as bad as it came across. I mean, I took it to mean he felt uncomfortable for him.
Right.
But if it was anything else, yeah, I don't like it. But that's sort of not how I took it. This has been an awful week for sports in this kind of thing. I mean, you know, Brad, we both know Todd Heap, have interviewed him many times, as nice an athlete as you'll ever meet, a family man. And it was, I don't know about you, but it was hard for me to even go there to think about, because I can't imagine the pain that he's going through.
I got emotional Friday night. It was like 10 o'clock. I was just checking out some things on the site and saw on Twitter, and my wife heard me from my office say, "Oh no, oh no." And she came in, she's like, "What's wrong?" And I told her, and I'm like, you know, I just kind of put my head back, like, because you know that his life will never, ever be the same. It has nothing to do with he played a game and got a big old check, and he's got a great family, big family. Yeah, he's been up here several times. We were talking and have been talking about some things for him in the future.
Right.
But all that stuff is just put off to the side or will never be revisited, because I don't know, Paula, how do you send a text message saying hang in there, or go on social media and saying thoughts or prayers, where hundreds of thousands of people are doing that, and it's not Friday night or Saturday, it's 8 months from now. It's 8 years from now that he's going to need people to saddle up alongside of him.
It's, you know, as a journalist, it was so hard for me to know what to do.
Right.
It felt ridiculous to tweet about it for me, so I didn't.
You
and I'm not passing judgment on people, but it just felt like the only reason to do it was to, you know, hey, I got this news and I want you to know about it. It just felt weird. So I haven't done anything. But I also feel like maybe there is some kind of a, you know, something to let him know how much the community feels about him. I mean, I've sort of toyed with the idea of a column, and but it is, you're right. I mean, it's such a life-changing, life-defining moment, and so painful and hard to understand. And it did. It posed some really interesting questions, I think, for both of us about social media and
right.
and value and all those kinds of things. So it was, yeah, I agree. It was really, really rough.
I'm not in your space, obviously, in your reach. I wrote something late mm-hmm. Saturday night. It just kind of popped into my head that, you know, here's a few things, but none of them had any base or trying to give context. It's just, you know, Bruce Snyder referred to him as the golden receiver. I always love that line that Bruce said. That's the golden receiver of ASU football, because he looked so great and he was really, you know, a tight end that played the game differently. And Todd and I are in the same space of, we've got kids in water polo, and so we've got that in common. So there's a lot of things that we've talked about. And yeah, I agree with you about what can you do? Can you bring... Was there a moment of silence at the ASU scrimmage on Saturday? Was there let's have a moment of thought, reflection, whatever your belief is. I don't know if there was or wasn't. I wasn't there. But what do you say to somebody like that moving forward? I don't know. That's the hard thing. So
I don't know. I know that, you know, he has a million friends, a big family, a lot of support, and I'm sure in his faith, as much as anything, you know, will make a difference for him. But yeah, it was heartbreaking. And then to watch Isaiah Thomas and the tears streaming down, and I can't believe I saw, you know, we're going back to social media here, but I saw people pass judgment on him for deciding to play. You know, he should be with his family. That is a very individual, personal decision.
Sure.
And it shocks me that people want to pass judgment on that. You know, people handle grief in different ways, and maybe that was his way of best dealing with it.
Well, there are people that were on Todd Heap about the size of his family and his religion, and that this happened.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It was nasty. It was just, I was like, you've got to be kidding me in this space. Everybody's got an answer rather than
people
just.
People don't have a soul who do that. That's just, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
On to more pleasant matters, we make the awkward transition, as they say.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So Peter King writes this morning that the Cardinals are the team, looking at trading up to get Patrick Mahomes from 13. And we both know Lee Steinberg very well, that Lee is a master at maneuvering these things around and about. We also know this is the time of year where people lie.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So do you buy into Patrick Mahomes and the Cardinals at all?
You know, I kind of was going back and forth on this for that exact reason. We've seen so much information. I know that so much can change before the day. So I kind of took it with a grain of salt. I mean, I think there's probably some truth to it, but I don't think it's anything we say this is definitely going to happen. But, I mean, I'm not surprised by it, right?
And I'd be fine with it.
It would make a lot of sense, right?
Would you be fine with this if this happened?
Absolutely.
So would
absolutely.
I. So would I.
So at the spot that they're picking, when you look at their needs, they have to address it now. I mean, you talk about a vertical passing game. You got to like what you see from him. So, and it's kind of a Bruce Snyder kind of guy who would fit into that their system so well, too.
Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians. What did I say?
Snyder. It's fine.
Oh, Bruce Snyder. Thank you. Yeah, Bruce Arians. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
All right. Good to talk to you, Brad.
You too. There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, sports360az.com. Brock Huard is next, analyzing quarterbacks, ESPN's college football analyst. Stay with us. All right, we're going to go to Seattle here in a few minutes. Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst, breaking down quarterbacks. He will be with us. Jordan was out at the spring game for ASU. We'll get over to Jordan here in a second and talk about that. I do want to mention that the Spurs started over the weekend their playoff series, and there are many people here in Phoenix that have this thing towards San Antonio, and you just need to get over it. Our hometown heroes on the basketball court have not been on the floor in a playoff game since May of 2010. The Spurs are making their 20th straight playoff appearance. 20 years in a row, they made it to the playoffs. That's the only team in all of North American sports. New England hasn't done that in the NFL. Okay, go through the NHL. Everybody else missed out. Major League Baseball, not the Red Sox, not the Dodgers, not the Cubs, not the Yankees. It is all on San Antonio. This may make you mad, but really it should drive you to be even angrier with what's going on here in Phoenix with the NBA team. The last time that the Spurs missed the playoffs was 1996. Tim Duncan was drafted, and we all know what happened from that point moving forward. So I watched San Antonio for the 20th straight year in the playoffs, or seven more years than the Suns have been in the playoffs. I also watched Markieff Morris put up in his very first playoff game yesterday, 21.7 boards and four blocks. I also watched Joe Johnson hit a game-winning shot for Utah over the Sad Sack Clippers. Doc's going to get fired over there. If there's a team that's been more disappointing than the Clippers, give it to me, because I haven't seen it. Every year they're supposed to be, this is the year. And every year they have something that happens. And Doc blows a gasket over a bad question being asked to him afterwards. The pressure's there. James Harden against Russell Westbrook was no contest the other night. Mike D'Antoni gives up 87. Mike D'Antoni seems to give up 87 and three quarters or a half. And the Warriors get Durant back, and they were great. The playoffs, I thought, for the opening weekend, I don't care about LeBron and Indiana tonight. I don't. I'm kind of bored with the Cavs. I don't find that to me. I have to race somewhere and watch them. Some of the other matchups to me are far more interesting. And seeing San Antonio with that record and that length of longevity of success, rather than being bitter and Pop's a whiner, they're there every year, and we're not. We should be better than that. Jordy, you were over at, you went to the ASU scrimmage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the lay of the land there, first of all, they did have a moment of silence?
They did, yeah, to open the day that they did have a moment of silence for Todd Heap and his family.
That's good. That's good. And on the field, what did you see? Did Todd say this is our quarterback for the coming year?
No, and even Blake Barnett said, a decision hasn't been made. My guess is it won't be made for a very long time, so I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and, you know, that sort of thing. On the field, though, Manny Wilkins did look very good. Blake Barnett looked very good. I would give the slight edge to Manny, but again, these are two teams, or the defense wasn't blitzing anybody. It was,
and that's all Todd does is blitz.
It's by design, too. And he brought in Phil Bennett, who loves to blitz as well. So it was kind of by design. You would see some bumped up numbers and that sort of thing.
All right. Good job there. So Jordan was out of the spring game. Go ahead and call Brock. Let's make that happen. So that's going on. The baseball team. So I'll Brock here in a second. The baseball team didn't look good on Friday night, didn't look good on Saturday, looked really good yesterday. Tonight, Robbie Ray's on the mound in Los Angeles. And then they go down to San Diego, and Shelby Miller's pitching tomorrow night. The Dodgers are here this weekend. U of A, I think this is a really good hire on the part of Sean Miller. U of A actually had a good couple of days, believe it or not, because lately it's not been good. Guys have been leaving. Sean Miller, I thought, had some hits on his staff that weren't of good news, losing his lead assistant. And these guys that are leaving school in for the NBA draft kind of left them high and dry. So Alonzo Trier is going to stay, and they hire Lorenzo Romar, which in my view, and I've known Lorenzo all the way back. Lorenzo and I went to the same church. We played in church league basketball. Then he went to UCLA, and then he's been at Washington forever. I think Sean Miller getting him, because Sean's head's going to explode if he doesn't have anybody to bounce off of. And it's good to see a good man like Lorenzo Romar stick with it. Speaking of good men now, we're going to go to Seattle. Out at the UW spring workouts is Brock Huard, our friend, ESPN college football analyst. And before I even get into NFL draft stuff with him and things that he's seen, Brock has decided that he is going to take his faith and open a podcast up, which I think this is really cool. It's called Above and Beyond. Brock, of course, if you're not familiar with Brock Huard in the mornings up in Seattle, he's a staple part. He's stable, too. He's a big part of 710 ESPN in Seattle. And I read the press release that your parent company, Bonneville, is actually backing you on your podcast, and it's going to be a faith-based podcast, right? Am I missing anything here?
Yeah. No, I think you're spot on. Bonneville and then Compassion International, who has been incredible. They took on the full kind of advertising gamut with it, Brad, and we sponsored a child through them for the last decade or so. And one thing led to another, and they've jumped on to sponsor. So between Bonneville and Advertise and Compassion International to help us advertise, those two entities really have kind of empowered the process. And Brad, as much time as I have spent in my life talking sports, as important as faith has been through that journey for me and all of the people that have impacted both of those, that's what this is about. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is it's about 10% of me talking and 90% of my guests, whether that was Matt Hasselbeck in the first one last week, Coach Dungy, John Kitna, Trent Dilfer, you know, just the list goes on and on. And then broadening that reach outside of football with some Mariners, other faiths outside of my Christian faith, eventually I hope to really tackle. So,
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a faith and sports journey, the intersection of them, and I'm really enjoying it.
Brock Huard's Above and Beyond, and you can find this on iTunes. You can find this everywhere, right?
Yeah, Stitcher. Yeah, Above and Beyond podcast online and then on iTunes. And, yeah, it was fun. Fun last week to kind of see it take shape and come to form, and looking forward to what's ahead with it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to download it and listen to it because I think that's very
right
cool.
On.
You're going
Thanks,
down that
brother.
Path. Yeah, it's cool. All right, you're at UW's spring workouts, correct, as I'm catching you right now?
Yeah, and I just found a quiet corner. It's a little windy out here. They're just leaving the field and got a chance to come over here and watch them for the first time this spring. They'll wrap up this weekend with their spring game, and they look pretty good, Brad.
If John Ross is there, do you take him if you're the Cardinals?
Ooh, if you're the Cardinals, I don't think you do. No, I think you've got to get some people up front. I think you've got to get some help for Carson if one of those tackles is available or an offensive lineman. I think with Larry and some of their other young receivers, I don't think that's the move that I make. They're in win-now mode, and I think they've got some more pressing needs in their secondary as well. Obviously, this is a deep draft at corner. There's some once-in-a-generation safeties. Sometimes those guys can fall down in the pecking order like Earl Thomas did mm-hmm. years ago for the Seahawks all the way down into the low teens. So, no, I don't think I prioritize a wide receiver. As much as I love John Ross and the people around here and Chris Peterson, as much as he doesn't like the social end of things, John Ross, I think, is going to drag him to Philadelphia to be a part of this draft possibly on Thursday or Friday. And that speaks volumes to the kind of character John has.
Talking football with Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst. We're going to talk quarterbacks here. So Peter King writes that Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback the Cardinals have targeted. I've heard that from others, but that they're going to have to move above 13 in order to get him to get in front of Cleveland. If we're breaking down quarterbacks, so let's go through them one by one, but let's start with Patrick Mahomes. In your opinion, Brock, is he a top 13 quarterback in the National Football League? Is he worth that price?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But I'll tell you this, and chatting with some different NFL people over the last month or so, I've kind of landed on this synopsis of this quarterback class. Deshaun Watson is my favorite person, and Patrick Mahomes is the most intriguing to me. And outside of those two, I wouldn't consider anybody else in the first round. I'm trying not to be Mr. Negative Guy or just rip on what guys can't do or what their track record and some of the struggles with some of their resume is. But those are that's kind of in a nutshell how I feel about this group. I love Deshaun Watson. He's a winner. He took Clemson over the top. He elevated everybody around there. People love him. I've seen him on and off the field. He's magnetic. I mean, he's the kind of guy that walks in and, as John Schneider loves to say, changes the temperature in the room and in your program. He's that guy. And then Patrick Mahomes going into this year, I said had the most physically gifted arm, was, you know, a guy that I've seen three or four times at Texas Tech in person, and every time I'm overwhelmed by the physical skill set, and he's the most intriguing. Those are the only two first-round guys that I would consider in this draft at that position.
Okay, do you see Ben Roethlisberger in Patrick Mahomes?
No, he's nowhere near that big, nowhere near that kind of stature, nowhere near that kind of size. much more athletic than Ben Roethlisberger, though, and can run and create in incredibly unique ways. And I would say their arm strength is similar. I would say as far as, you know, what they can do and how they spin a football and how they can do it, as guys love to say, on different platforms moving around. And, you know, I saw Patrick Mahomes in a bowl game a couple years ago against LSU, and he's sprinting away from an NFL-laden defense. And he's carrying that whole team. The only reason they're even in that game is because of him and the plays he makes. And he sprints, I mean dead sprint to the right, to his arm, and somehow composes himself right before going out of bounds, throws a laser shot, kind of back across the field. And I can count on my hand the number of guys in the NFL that have the physical capability to do that. There's very few. So I see where the comparisons may be made with creativity and arm strength, but as far as size and stature and strength and those things in the pocket, very different guys.
We're talking with Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst. He also has his new podcast out, Above and Beyond. You can find it on iTunes and everywhere where podcasts are downloaded. Great content there. Richard Sherman, what's fact, what's fiction about him being moved possibly from your view? You're right in the middle of it.
Yeah, we've been right in the center of this discussion. I believe wholeheartedly with Adam Schefter that Richard Sherman was the one who started this whole conversation, that he was the one that reached out to the Seahawks after the season and said, would you mind pursuing opportunities? And they have obliged. They made that public. Both sides have. I think all of that is real. Whether something gets done or not will be determined, I think, in 9 days at that draft. And either it's going to happen on draft day and they're going to find a way where one of these teams, you know, who targets, and even though it's a deep cornerback class, Brad, there's still very different shapes and sizes and skill sets with these corners. And if there's a team there that's in need of that position, and there are, and they don't get the guy they want in the top 10, or there's a run on corners, say pick 8 through 13, and all of a sudden you're in the mid-teens, and all of a sudden there's a team that still has that need, to me, that's where this trade could go down. But outside of that, I don't see it happening before. I don't think it will happen after. I think both sides are willing to go through this process to see if it unfolds on draft day or not. And then business will be business. And they'll try to make amends, and we'll see whether or not the Seahawks can trust Richard, his attitude, his mouth, his persona moving forward.
Last question. When you look at the NFC West right now with the changes in San Francisco with John Lynch coming in and the Rams last year using the number one pick on Goff, and where the Cardinals are with age with Carson and Larry and up in your neck of the woods, is there a definitive leader in the clubhouse in this division, or are we in transition phase in the NFC West in your view?
Yeah, well, I'll lean on Colin Cowherd on this one, and I think he's right, Brad. And he's got a few more years on me, and I think he's even a lot older than you. I know you're a young,
wow,
guy,
geez,
like myself. And,
slam.
Yeah. And Colin Cowherd says owner, GM, head coach, quarterback. And those are the four. That if you've got an owner that's willing and committed to win, spending the money to do so, if you've got a GM and a head coach that you trust, and they've got their window of opportunity, and then you've got your franchise quarterback, you've got a chance to win and win for some time. And when I look at this NFC West, I would still put the Seahawks, who've been to the second round of the playoffs the last 5 years or more with their quarterback, I would still put them ahead of the class because of those four pillars.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always, Brock. Thanks.
You got it, Brad. Thanks, bro.
Brock Huard there. Above and Beyond is his podcast. And, of course, ESPN College Football Analyst. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. Pro College High School, High School College Pro. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Things that we see a little bit off the beaten path. We appreciate you being part of what we do every day. Jared Nielsen, our chairman of the board. Jordan Hamm today produces. Eric out and about. Haley Stasiak as well. Thanks for being with us.